ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं याससि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषाणि द्रक्षस्यात्मन्यथो मयि। Somebody can read translation.
Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine.
So, from verse number 34 onwards, the summary of the chapter has started already. Verse number 34 to 42 is the conclusion of this entire chapter. 34 to 42. And verse number 34 gives answer to the question, how to achieve transcendental knowledge? What is the answer to that? Tadvidipanipatena pariprasnena sevya. How to achieve transcendental knowledge? And this verse number 35 says, what is the fruit of transcendental knowledge? Not only verse number 35, 36, 37, 38. All of them are talking about what is the fruit of transcendental knowledge. By achieving this knowledge, what all you get? First, Krishna says here, yajñātvāna punarmoham. We do not fall prey to illusion again. That is the first fruit he is saying. And then in 36, 37, 38 also, he will say that even the most fallen of the sinners can be delivered by this knowledge. And then he will say that this knowledge burns all of our karmic reactions in 37. And then 38 he will say that this knowledge is supremely pure and it is a mature fruit of all mysticism. So in these four verses he tells the benefit or the fruit of transcendental knowledge. So in this 35 to 38 he is telling about the fruits. Here he is talking about how the living being never falls into illusion. This vision which Krishna is talking of in this verse is a vision of a Mahabhagavat devotee, as it is explained in the 11th canto also. In the 11th canto there is a verse, beautiful verse. It says, Sarva Bhuteshu Yah Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmani Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Yesha Bhagavatottamah. It says something similar to a verse in Bhagavad Gita. You all must be knowing this verse. What is that verse? Sarvam cha mayi pashyati. Yomam pashyati sarvatra. Sarvam cha mayi pashyati. Tasyaham na pranashyami. Sasameyena pranashyati. What does Krishna say there? What does he say there? Yomam pashyati sarvatra. One who sees me everywhere and who sees everything in me, I am not lost for him, nor is he lost to me. Very beautiful verse. How can we see everything within Krishna and Krishna in everything? How can we have this kind of vision? This is a very, very great vision to have. Yashodamayi, Vishnu Chakravarti Lord says, Yashodamayi saw everything within Krishna by seeing Krishna's mouth. She saw the entire creation within the mouth of Krishna. He says, this is the meaning of seeing everything within Krishna. Actually, what it means is, that one sees everything either as energetic or energy of Krishna. Krishna is energetic, or else everything that has come from him is all energy. So there is nothing besides this energetic and energy. So is there anything separate from Krishna? There is nothing separate. There is something that is seen separate from Krishna. What is it? Who can say? Which is seen separate from Krishna? Maya. Maya is the only thing that is separate. That means there is no existence that is separate from Krishna. But if you see that something can be separate, then that is considered illusion. Like Prabhupada explains, if you amputate the hand and keep it aside separately, hand will look exactly as it is looking now. But it loses the potency to do anything. It cannot do anything. In the same way, when anything is separated from Krishna, it cannot have anything. It has no existence at all. So, one should see everything within Krishna. At the same time, when we say everything is within Krishna, Krishna is also within everything. If you read 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you should read the verses, I think, 4th and 5th. There he says something similar. Krishna says, everything is in me, but I am not in them. He says, yeah. This is the next verse. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadav vyaktamurtina. That verse in the next one. So, only an advanced Mahabhagavad devotee gets this vision very clearly. When we talk of seeing Krishna in everything, what it means is, like Acharyas give a beautiful explanation. Like a lusty man sees beautiful woman everywhere in the world. Wherever he turns around, he sees only beautiful woman. Are everywhere beautiful woman there in the world? Is everyone beautiful? No. But still, because of his lusty look, he thinks everything is beautiful. Or another example is given, like a businessman sees money everywhere. Wherever he sees, it is money only. He cannot talk anything other than money. Anything, he sees a building, he talks about how many lakhs it will be. He sees a car, he says, this limousine car must be so many lakhs. Or this Mercedes must be so many lakhs. Anything he says, immediately he talks in terms of money. Similarly, a pure devotee always, wherever he looks around, he says, how this thing can be engaged in Krishna service. So, this kind of consciousness is called as the consciousness of a Mahabhagavad devotee. So, such a devotee becomes very, very attached to Krishna. And he can see how Krishna is the beloved of every living entity. Such a devotee becomes attached not only to Krishna, he loves every living being. Like Krishna is said to be the Suhridam of every living being, similarly that pure soul also is the Suhridam of every living being. Trikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehina. How does he become a well-wisher of every living being? That can be systematically understood. You all must be knowing the pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela, isn't it? Brahma, I will not be explaining about it in detail. It will take more than an hour. But I can tell you very briefly, in Brahma Vimohan Leela, one time Brahma was bewildered and he thought Krishna to be an ordinary boy. So he wanted to test whether Krishna is God. So when Krishna and the cowherd boys were playing in the pastures, and when the cows were also gazing in the pastures, Krishna and his friends sat down together to eat prasadam. So when they were about to begin prasad, then Brahma came there and wanted to conduct a test to check Krishna's supremacy. So he started taking all the cows and calves. He started taking all the calves and he took them to a cave and he hid them. And Krishna told the other cowherd boy, you all continue to take prasad, I will go and get the calves and come back. Then when Krishna went, in the meantime Brahma came and took the cowherd boys and he put them all in the cave. And he wanted to see how Krishna behaves when everyone is gone. So Krishna came back and saw there was nobody, there are no calves, there are no cowherd boys, and everywhere it was empty. Then Brahma thought, now this boy is now bewildered, let him suffer, let me see what he does. So for one moment of his time, he went to his abode, Brahmaloka. And then he came back from Brahmaloka, returned. In the meantime, do you know what Krishna did? Krishna is the source of everything. He expanded into many, many Vishnu forms. And all these Vishnu forms, they all again changed into covered boys. Covered boy means he made these covered boys with such a perfection. Some of you have prominent noses. Some of you have big eyes. Some of you have long ears. Some of you are short, some of you are tall. But Krishna is such a perfect artist that he made himself into covered boys. He expanded into covered boys exactly according to the proportion that existed in their previous bodies. You understand? He expanded like that. So he looked exactly like the covered boys as they were before, and also the cows. And then they all returned back to their respective houses. And that day was Balaram's appearance day. So Balaram was at home. Mother told him, Yashoda told him that you should be at home and you should give charity to everyone. So when Balaram saw all of them returning, he saw that the cows are becoming mad. They were running to meet their offsprings, calves, to give them milk. Milk was oozing out of their udders. And the mothers were running after their children and embracing them with so much of love. They were crying tears. And Balaram was asking, why? What's happening? Why are they showing this kind of special love towards all the children now? I have never seen them showing so much extra love, extra special love. So he was wondering how it is. Why did they show extra special love? This question was asked by Parikshit to Shukadeva Maharaj. He asked Shukadeva Maharaj, how is it that Krishna was the son of Yashoda? He was the son of one of the elderly gopis of Vrindavan. Why did the other mothers of other children, they showed so much love towards their children? What was the reason? Of course, you say that Krishna's expansion. Why did they show so much love for Krishna in special? What is the reason? Actually, Parikshit himself is a very, very great devotee. But he asked this question for our benefit, so that Shukadeva Goswami can give a beautiful explanation. So after that, Shukadeva Maharaj said, my dear Parikshit, for everyone, do you know what is the most dear for everyone? Tell me, what is the most dear thing to all of you? Huh? Yes, one's own self is the most dear thing for all of us in this world. There are two things he said. Aham mameti. Aham means I, mama means mine. If you take both the things, aham and mamata, if you take, even out of the two, do you know which is more dear to you? Aham. Aham is more dear to you. What is most dear to you is your soul, and then next dear to you is the body, and then anything that is connected to the body. That is how it goes. So, it can be very easily seen in this world how one likes oneself the most in this world. We can explain through many examples. Sometimes, man and woman, before marriage, they come together. Sometimes they go to park, beach, so many places, and the woman becomes pregnant. And then she comes to know that she is pregnant. And she finds that this is an inconvenience for me, because society will talk something bad about me. So she goes to a doctor and gets the child aborted. Actually, the Shastras condemn abortion so much. When we had gone to Vrindavan last time, we saw everywhere it was written, abortion is such a great crime. One should not commit abortion. Unless the mother's life is a threat, abortion can never be permitted. But nowadays abortion has become so cheap that they don't even call it abortion. They call it as tissue termination. Call it. So pregnancy termination or tissue termination they call it. So sometimes you see in a hospital a queue of 10-20 women waiting to get their tissue terminated. They actually do not know what is happening. They think some tissue will be cut from the body as if you are cutting a nail from the body off. They are thinking like that. But the tissue is not an ordinary tissue. It is a live tissue inside the body, inside which there is a soul. And who is actually suffering? If you see the aborted children, hands and legs, even after grown, it is actually a murder. It is nothing less than a murder. But the heartless, cruel, modern scientists have used a flowery language. This is called by a particular word in English. Do you know what is it? Euphemism. We call it euphemism. Euphemism means using a flowery language to convey something that is very harsh. Like you say, slaughterhouse. Slaughterhouse. When you say it's like a place where the animal's throat is cut and blood and flesh are eaten by someone. So it's a very harsh word. So you call it by meat packing shop. That's a very nice name. Or I was telling you in one of the classes, you remember? Kalika Mandir, they call it. So Kalika Mandir, people will say, oh, it's a mandir. You can do like this and you can take some meat and go. So people use the euphemism technique to call something very harsh in a very sweet way. Similarly, they call it tissue termination. So one great devotee in ISKCON wrote an article. He was asking, if you call it tissue termination, tomorrow you may even call the old people in your house to be tissues and you may start terminating them. Isn't it? These are old tissues. If you don't want a small tissue in your stomach, you say it's a small useless tissue, you terminate it. And you can terminate anybody calling them as tissue, because ultimately our body is made of tissue only. So, in this way, we see practically that sometimes mothers become ready to kill their children if the child is inconvenient to their sense gratification. Or, sometimes we see when parents become old, when a man is newly married, he thinks, what is this? This father and mother is a big nuisance for me. Let me put them in some lonely old age homes, so that let them do whatever they want. Let me be a free burden. So if you see, generally a person identifies himself with the house very much. Everyone thinks, I am a part and parcel of this house. This house is everything for me, and I am a part and parcel. But even in that house, if you see, it's not that he is ready to give his life for the others. He considers himself to be the most important first, and then others come. So in this I and mine, out of the two, which is more important for a person? I is most important. My means those things which belong to us. It can be shown with many examples how the things that we say my, that belong to us, are of secondary importance to us. It's very easy to understand. This experiment was conducted by scientists. They wanted to see how different animals have a tendency towards self-preservation. So they took a monkey along with its small child, and they put them in a tub, and they started raising the level of water. So the water level was rising. The mother monkey was having the small monkey with him, and he was trying to somehow escape from the tub. It was a too tall tub, and it was difficult to escape. And the monkey, somehow or other, was trying to save its child. And the water started coming up to the neck, and the child was climbing in the top of the head of the mother. And the mother saw that, now this water is going high, when it goes beyond my nose, I will die. Then immediately she took the monkey and dipped her in the water, and put her down, and climbed on her and jumped out. So this goes to show how one's own life is more important for a person. Please do not take it in a derogatory way, or think that we are talking bad about the relationships of the world. It is a reality that you have to see that everyone has a tendency towards saving oneself. One story, famous story is said amongst the sadhus. It's a story for the sadhus. It's actually not meant for the public, but still I'll tell all of you because you all are like sadhus only. You all are so advanced that I can tell you this story. Once upon a time, one sadhu visited a man, and he told this man that now you have become pretty old. Now you give up home, business, your responsibility at home, everything, and you come with me, let us go to all the holy places, and you can achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. Do not waste your life. This man said, my dear sadhu, I have been thinking of it for many, many years, but how can I give up my dear wife? She is so kind to me. Every day she massages my leg, and she cooks so many nice items for me, and my children are always surrounding me, and my father and mother, they are pretty old, but they are constantly glorifying me, they are pampering me, they are taking care of me. In such a comfortable house I am living, how can I give up all these things and come? It is simply not possible for me. But I am certainly thinking of renouncing everything, and then I also want to become a sadhu, he was telling. Then the sadhu said, I can prove that none of these people are your real Shubhachintak, they are not your real well-wishers. I can practically prove this to you. Then the sadhu told him, he told him that, let us go to your house, you should lie down as if you are dead, and then I will be a doctor, I will come and do something. At any cost, you should not wake up. He just lie down, he told him. Then this man went home, and all of a sudden, he lie down on the ground. And his leg twisted like this, hand went like this, and one hand went like this, and leg twisted in this way and that way. His body became crouched in a different posture. He had a particular posture as if he got some fits or something, and he was flat on the ground. Then wife was crying, children were crying, parents were crying, and then the sadhu was passing as if he was a doctor. He was passing by. Then they called him immediately, please come and help. Please come and save my husband. The doctor came with some medicines, and he saw, he touched his forehead, he checked the nadi, everything. Then he sat in meditation for some time. Then the sadhu came out of meditation and then he told the people in the house that this man, I have understood according to his graha, he has to leave his body. So I am very sorry to say that he has died. Then immediately everyone started loudly crying in their highest of the voice. So this man was feeling, oh, they have so much love for me. All of them are crying like anything. And this man said that they have no love for me. He is a fool. He was about to wake up. But then after that the sadhu spoke. He said, but I can bring him back to life, provided any one of you is ready to lay down your life for him. Who amongst you would like to lay down your life for this man's sake? So first he looked at the wife. Wife said, why are you looking at me? He is my husband. If he gets back to life, I have to live with him. And besides that, my husband is not a very intelligent man. Even if he comes back to life, if I die, who will take care of the children? He doesn't know how to cook also. So I have to be there. Without me, he cannot survive. But she said, anyway, you want only one life. What about these two older people? Anyway, they have to die only. They are pretty old. Then the father, he became angry. How can you say that? I am actually the owner of the house. I have only given my house to my son. Without me, nothing can move. I only accumulated so much property for my descendants. And without my good advice, the entire family cannot run. So my presence is very necessary. Maybe my wife, she is a useless, poor old baggage living at home. She can pass away. And she became angry at her husband. How dare you point towards me? You are more older than me. So in this way, they all started fighting with one another. And this man was hearing all that very nicely. So in this way, nobody was ready to give life at home. Then that man, sadhu said, then I can't help you. And they all said, okay, if you can't help us, what can we do? When providence is ultimate. So this man has died. So let him be taken to the graveyard. And they arranged for a stretcher. And then when he was about to be taken to the graveyard, the doorway was very small. And his hands and legs were like this, and it could not be taken from the doorway. And the sadhu suggested that you may have to break this door and make it double size, so that he can be taken. And the wife started crying, No. Don't break the house. Maybe you can break his body, but not the house. But this house, we took so much trouble to build this house. It's not good to do that. After all, this man is a dead man now. Better you turn his leg or do something with his body and take him out of the house. Of course, this is a very harsh story. All of you don't take it to your heart. It is not meant for devotees. It is talking about a family which is living with sense gratification as its root, with no ultimate purpose. So this explains how all the people living around us, for them we are only secondary. Although you may feel that you are the life and soul of everyone. This is what everyone thinks. Generally when man and woman marry, they think, oh, my temperament and her temperament are same. My behavior and her behavior are same. And it appears that Brahma has created both of us, made for each other. They think like that. They think like that actually. And people marry like that. But after they come together, after passing few years, they realize that there are million one differences. So, we will see that our interests are only our interests. We are not interested about others. It's a reality of life which we have to say openly. But if we say openly, people don't like it. So, in this way, for us, I is more important than my. I, the soul. That is the reason why sadhus are ready to forego the gratification of the body. You have seen that sadhus sometimes are ready to emaciate their bodies. You know why? Why are they ready to emaciate their bodies? Because they have understood that I am different from the body. The degree that consciousness increases more and more, they don't bother about the body so much. They are ready to give up the enjoyments of the body. I have seen earlier, some of my friends used to go to gym and have a very, very well developed body. Nice biceps. You have a big shoulder and big biceps, and every day you go, you spend hours and hours in the gym. And you sweat so much, you struggle, you work hard so much to have a healthy body. People used to have. But after they became devotees, they completely forgot the gym. And they started sitting and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, many hours and breathing. Why? Now they understood they are not the body. Because if you, as long as you think you are the body, you want to have a beautiful body to attract others. But as soon as you understand you are not the body, there is no use working for the body. Body is like a flower or a leaf which is going to dry eventually. Then you start working towards the soul. You understand? So if one thinks I am the body, then he'll be working towards the body. When one says my body, he understands difference between body and soul, then such a person can work towards the soul better. So in this way, as I told you, the soul is the one which is the most dear to every one of us. But Krishna is said to be the soul of all souls, because the soul in every one of our bodies is a part and parcel of Krishna. When you do not know about the soul, you think you are a part and parcel of your family. Or you may at best think you are a part and parcel of Pune. Or you may think you are a part and parcel of particular caste, whatever it be. Or you may think you are a part and parcel of Maharashtra. Or you are part and parcel of India. So in this way we may have different levels of consciousness, that we may think of ourselves to be part and parcel of something that is very small and confined, you know. But when you advance in spiritual life, you can clearly see that you are part and parcel of Krishna. So when one realizes this fact, that I am part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna is the soul of all the souls, then Krishna becomes the dearmost. This was the reason why all the elderly gopis were so attached to their children, because they were more attached to Krishna than their own children. When they would see the children, they weren't so attracted as much as they were attracted to Krishna, because Krishna is soul of all the souls. That was the reason why they were attracted. Because Krishna is the soul of all souls, he is called as Krishna, all attractive. Like you see in the spiritual world, peacocks are getting attracted to Krishna. Or you see monkeys are getting attracted, deers are getting attracted, cows. It is said when Krishna plays on his flute, Yamuna, who has been swiftly flowing, she completely becomes standstill. Just becomes standstill and she is watching Krishna. And the stone which was standstill, by hearing the fifth note of Krishna, the stone starts melting like that. And the trees which were waving to and fro, sending the breeze, they become standstill observing Krishna. And in this way, he decided in Vrindavan, everyone becomes captivated by Krishna's beauty. Whereas in the material world, you will see, nobody is captivated by any other species. Like I was telling a few weeks ago, I remember, like for example, a he pig is only attracted to a she pig. Have you ever seen a he pig attracted to Miss Universe? Do they ever talk about it? Are they ever attracted? No. But a man is attracted, isn't it? A man is attracted to a woman, and a male cockroach is attracted to a female cockroach. Male cockroach is never interested in beautiful women, isn't it? So they are attracted to somebody in the same species. Man is attracted to a woman. Dog is attracted to a she-dog or a he-dog. So this attraction is in the same species. But speciality of Krishna is that he is the only being in the entire creation to whom all the species are attracted. That is why he is called as Krishna. Sarva akarshak. You will see the deers are getting attracted. Cows are getting attracted. Everyone is attracted to him. So this ability is there only in Krishna. Even the best of the heroes cannot attract the other species. Like Michael Jackson, when he came to Bombay, I heard 70,000 people were attracted to him. Isn't it? But even the monkeys in Bombay didn't get attracted to him. Although he may dance like a monkey. Even the monkeys didn't get attracted. So, nobody has the ability to attract the other species. But Krishna has the ability to attract every soul. Because in each of these bodies, the deer, cow, calf, monkey, peacock, in each of the bodies there is soul. And Krishna is the soul of all the souls. That is why everyone is attracted to Krishna spontaneously. So in this way, if one can understand the truth that Krishna is the soul of all souls, then one can come to the stage of, if one gets the realization of this, then one begins to love every living being. Do you understand why the pure devotees love every living being now? Why they love every living being? Because there is a part of Krishna which is present in that body. That is why they love every living being so much. Because there is a part and parcel of Krishna in every body. This is one vision. There is a still higher vision to that. Higher vision is, Not only is the soul, which is a part and parcel of Krishna, present in this body, the secondary agent in the body, namely the body itself, is material energy of Krishna. Isn't it? Is it not? That is also energy of Krishna. So if one, first of all should see the spiritual spark in the body of a person, understand that it is a part and parcel of Krishna. And then one should also learn to see that everything is energy of Krishna. There is nothing that is not energy of Krishna. So one should be able to have a clear vision of seeing in this fashion of everything as energy of Krishna. That's what Krishna says in the shloka. Yomam pashyati sarvatra. Sarvanta mayi pashyati. And he sees me in everything. And such a person is never lost, he is telling. Yajnatva napunarmoham evam yasari pandava yena bhutani sheshani dakshasatmanyato mayi. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme. Or in other words, they are mine. So, this will be more elaborately understood as we go on to many more chapters.